This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and there's more at allbookhalfinbooks.com. There is a new book available by Linda Oper, The Kite, a story poem. It's like a fairy tale for adults and young adults, with some lovely little illustrations and a beautiful cover on beautiful artwork on the cover. So, onward with the part two tribute to Tom Robbins, the great novelist who passed away recently. Found some interesting quotes for the most part and wanted to share those because just it's Tom Robbins and I have even greater appreciation for him now reading these quotes. When Robbins was asked to explain his, quote, gift for storytelling in 2002, he replied, "I'm descended from a long line of preachers and policemen. Now, it's common knowledge that cops are congenital liars and evangelists spend their lives telling fantastic tales in such a way as to convince otherwise rational people that they're factual. So, I guess I come by my narrative inclinations naturally." I presume a little bit tongue-in-cheek there, but can see some of that. Looking at his novels, I just happened to notice he had consistent 3 to 6 years between each of the novels. Three or four or five or six years between each of his, I think, eight or nine novels. So that gives you an indication of what a writer does. It's a long haul, sort of by oneself, so to speak. And then the book. And here's a quote I find extremely telling. Most authors employ language to describe experience. My own goal is to actually provide an experience. Well, that says a lot. That speaks to the enjoyment I myself and other people that I know experience while reading him. Most authors employ language to describe experience. My own goal is to actually provide an experience. And this, I touched on this in a recent episode where I mentioned that a lot of writers, I find, they, like, especially when it comes to, like, the natural world, they want to, and poetry, they want to translate. I mean, I do this too, but what the point I'm making is they want to employ the language to describe an experience. They want to translate, you know, what they saw, like, how they perceive the tree or the sky or this or that. And while it can become, beautiful words or verbiage, I think that ultimately it's limiting. And my angle on it was having to do with more of a mystical, kind of like a native perspective, or for me, a Kabbalah perspective of receiving information from elsewhere. And that so the trees can actually speak to you, the nature, natural world can speak to you, as they are speaking to everyone, so that then in the writing, the writer then becomes speaking for the trees, in a way, the voice for the voiceless. But that is giving another experience, a different flavor of the natural world, and giving credit where credit is due. So that's my spin, but I think, you know, Tom Robbins did it in his own way, in a different angle, but his goal to actually provide an experience. And then here's a great quote. It shows how he kept up with the times. This was at age 86 he was interviewed. He said, "Social media is to the human ego what a pile of red meat is to a hungry wolf." Social media is to the human ego what a pile of red meat is to a hungry wolf. And he's talking about, it was like in response to the future, how things, the narrative needs to change. And in the new story, we will be favored by God. No more, no less than that strawberry plant, that thirsty rhinoceros. That here, again, he speaks to the egalitarian, all our relations perspective. That is not a new story, but as natives say, from time immemorial. And also Buddhists in the sense of nothing is better than anything. Everything is all the same. So have respect for everything and treat everything equally, from the cosmic awareness you just had to the Philip said, screwdriver, you need to fix the light switch to turn on the light to cook your dinner that was grown from the earth. And so it's all equal and connected. And here he gives an explanation that I find fascinating. For example, and this gives a lot of insight into Tom Robbins. For example, when one's consciousness travels inside the crown of a daisy, as did mine on my first LSD trip, it was like a cathedral made of mathematics and honey in there. One comes away sensing that every daisy in the field has an identity just as substantial as one's own, and that cannot help but leave one more sensitive to the wonders and deeper meanings of the everyday natural world. So this again speaks to that egalitarian consciousness, the respect for the natural world and all beings therein. The psychedelic experience is both prehistoric and futuristic, creating multiple insights that do not translate readily into language. Again, he's touching on what's the experience that is beyond the verbiage. And, one does not have to do psychedelics to get to that place, but that's one of the functions of it, rather than just, quote, partying, to use it as a in a conscious way with respect for the beings. For example, the mushrooms is a being, and to give thanks and ask for guidance and respect the mushrooms as a nation. All right, more quotes. Sometimes when a wand is sparking and our muse is smiling on us like a hot buttered croissant, we can use words to light up a page or a room, even a mind. Although admittedly not as brilliantly as those verbally transcendent entities that reside ever so humbly in certain mushrooms, cacti, or the scummy ergot that infects wheat and rye. Those verbally transcendent entities that reside ever so humbly in, and you name it there, the plants, all the tea, the herbal teas that people take for medicinal healing, those are beings in there. Those are their function is one of their functions is to provide healing. And so, when you make a cup of tea, you can talk to the being and give thanks, like you would the waiter for bringing you your meal. Thank you. You thank the plant being, and that helps with the healing process. That's how I learned. And again, on the language, many, if not most, authors employ language to describe experience. My own goal is to actually provide an experience. I'd like to think that I write to twine ideas and images into big subversive pretzels of life, death, and goofiness on the chance that, like the trickster figure in tribal myths, they might help keep the world lively and give it the flexibility to endure. But there, I would say that's probably the gist of, if you had to sum up Tom Robbins' writings, his novels, like the trickster figure might help keep the world lively and give it the flexibility to endure. So that is part of why suddenly I feel this even stronger affinity for his work, because now that he's gone, the work lives on, and it is up, as with anyone, is up to those here to carry on the energy that was put forth to keep the world lively and the flexibility to endure. So that's where the humor and the laughter comes in. That's a huge part of the flexibility to endure. And then I would say Tom Robbins clearly saw through the domination system, as Stephen Newcomb calls it. With this quote, he sums up a lot in a short line. The desire, talking about the political impulse, he said, the desire to preside over property and make other people's decisions for them. There it is, 1-2 punch, in a euphemism for domination, but making other people's decisions for them. All this, not just politicians nowadays, but advertisements, science, the media, so-called experts, everybody's trying to tell you this, this is what you need to know, this is what you need to buy, this is what does what. But, ultimately, you make your own decision for you. And then the desire to preside over property, that's, everything colonialism, capitalism, the whole, you know, property taxes, everything, rent, everything that is runs the whole system is essentially based on property, which is a man-made illusion based in illegal legalities, as a friend of mine would call it, fake laws, that all of a sudden it's a quote property and has to have this, when in actuality it is Mother Earth, and it's and your particular area needs care given. But the whole difference between property and Mother Earth, that's he summed it up a lot right there. And then he goes on to say, with his typical insightful humor, the party and political party that would surely get my vote and maybe even a contribution is the one whose slogan is, "We're making it all up," which, of course, they are. And where politics and religion are concerned, so is everybody else. But we're making it all up. That's exactly what I heard Stephen Newcomb say about the domination system. That it is a claim of a right of domination. There is no actual right to dominate others, to tax people, to be superior to others. That is nowhere enshrined in anything. It is a man-made delusion. It's a claim, and then it gets backed by, you know, legalities, and it's on paper. And then it gets backed by money control, and it gets backed by military, or just, you know, the thug, kind of mafia state stuff. And it gets backed by fear tactics, because if you don't abide by it, if you don't pay your car registration, if you don't pay this, if you don't pay that, then they might haul the stuff away, including yourself. So It's based on a fear system there. And another little quote about his going into the crown of the daisy. The crown of the daisy is a perfect logarithmic helix. My eyes followed that spiral around and around until pop, I actually went into the flower. What was it like in there? It was a subterranean cathedral made out of mathematics and honey and occupied. This is the amazing part, by an almost palpable intelligence. Palpable intelligence. So there, I'll leave it at that, because what more is there to say? That every being, everything that you walk by en route to go to your car, the ladybug, the dried leaf, the cloud floating by, the bird, every single entity has palpable intelligence. And if more people just stopped and paused, like the Tao says, go and pause and stop and pause, and not just smell the coffee or smell the roses, but to honor and to bow down to and or respect whatever you do, to acknowledge that palpable intelligence in all beings, which in essence, there's nowhere to go then. There's nowhere to go, so to speak, if you can see the entire universe intelligence in a daisy or fill in the blank. Why would you go anywhere? That's another topic. But the point is, oftentimes we're missing the boat by sailing in the boat instead of just staying where we are. If that's a strange metaphor, I haven't thought through, but that's reflective of my deep appreciation for Tom Robbins and his imagery and insights that continue to shape many people's writings and thinking and actions in the world. So think deeply and take action. Thanks for listening, and be well.